Good morning on a Wednesday here on 96.5 The Fan. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Mallory with you today.
Get your hand off my glove, Dusty.
Off your glove.
Yeah, stop touching me. Stop trying to steal my ball.
That's what that fan said last night.
What the hell was that? I've never seen anything like that in my entire life.
In the unpopular crowd here, thought it was kind of awesome.
Oh, I thought it was hysterical. I'm not going to lie. But
it's not Bartman where you're just a guy that's a nerd listening to your headset. Nah, man. Yeah. This was a true Bronxer, bruiser.
This was Vinny from the Bronx, man.
No doubt about it. Yeah. Prying the glove open and ripping the ball out so that the Dodgers can't win because they're frustrated about getting swept.
I mean, you want to talk about, I don't trust my team to win. I'm going to take matters into my own hand. This guy did it.
And I thought it was awesome.
I thought it was hysterical. I'm not going to lie. I thought it was really, really funny to watch that go down. But also, I'm like, all right, that guy's got to be banned now for life from Major League Baseball. He'll never set foot inside a stadium again.
This is the audio of it.
Fly to right by Torres. Betts in the corner. Does he have room? Fights with the fan. And they're going to say that it's an out and fan interference. So an out, one gone in this first. It's the second time that Gleyber Torres has hit a ball that has ended up in fan interference in this series. He had the home run turn into a double back at Dodger Stadium. And yeah, Betts has that ball in his glove, and this fan literally tries to take his glove off. Fries the ball out of there. A for effort.
Well, he won't be watching the game much longer.
Thanks, John.
Wow, he might just from a TV. He's going to be watching us on the TV.
Yeah, no doubt.
He may never get to another game again. The other guy's got Mookie Betts' wrist held down like he was trying to
and then
hold his arm
had
down.
The sliding mitt on his hand as well. Like, what a wild scene.
It was unbelievable. I've never seen something like that before. And you bring up the Bartman one. A buddy of mine texted me, he goes, this is like Bartman. I'm like, no, Bartman was kind of innocent in all of this. Like, Bartman wasn't trying to do something malicious to hurt somebody, right?
Yeah.
He was just going up and making a play on a foul ball. This guy legitimately was trying to rip the ball out of Mookie Betts' glove while the other clown next to him held Mookie Betts down as this guy tried to rip the ball out of the man's glove to take matters into his own hand. I guess that guy's accomplished more than Aaron Judge has in the World Series, right?
Oh, man. Whenever there's an opportunity to take
it. Hey, man, you're going to walk around, you're going to tell everybody you're MVP of the league, you got to show up in the postseason. That's all I'm saying. Got to show up in the postseason.
Did he say that he's the MVP?
I feel like the
New York media did that for him.
Yeah, he hasn't. But, you know, if you're going to be the MVP of the league, you got to show up. Now, he did have an RBI single last night, so congratulations to him.
He also got hit by a pitch.
Yep, he did, big time.
And then Stanton got hit, but then it wasn't a hit, and then he had to get back in the batter's box because it was a foul ball.
Like he swung, but he got hit. Like once you get hit, it should be over. You know, like the swing should be over. You're trying to get out of the way of a pitch flying at your face or whatever it is like that. But I've never seen a fan go rogue like that. Really, probably since the two idiots in Chicago that attacked Gamboa. Like that's the last time.
Was that the guy that Aaron Guile just beat senseless?
Yeah.
Took the baseball to his face.
Yeah. Like those
Canadians
two
unite.
Drunk brothers or father son or whatever those two clowns were in Chicago.
Yeah, shirtless.
One of them was. Legay brothers or something. Legay, I think, is how you pronounce their names. Legay or whatever it was. But those guys went wild on Tom Gamboa, beat him up. And obviously that's worse than what we saw last night. But last night, come on now. I mean, it's just stupid to do something like that because now you're done, man. You're not going to another baseball game your entire life.
What's the hottest your oven gets?
Broil, I guess. Why?
It's huge. Freeman cracks one deep to right field. Freddie Freeman floating in the World Series. Four games, four home runs. You gotta be kidding.
I don't know what to say anymore.
Are we watching the greatest individual postseason performance in sports history right now with this guy? Or is that just caught up in the moment?
In sports?
In sports, yeah. I'm talking basketball. I'm talking football. I'm talking hockey. I'm talking like it's all rolled in together.
It's hard to compare to other sports. And I'm going to sound insanely biased, but that 2019 Super Bowl run where you was that 19 where you came from behind against Houston?
Yeah.
Came from behind against Tennessee, came from behind against San Francisco.
But I'm talking individual.
Who was throwing the football?
Yeah, but there's defense. There was other guys involved. Like Freddie Freeman is doing this on his own.
That's fair.
Like individual performance, not team performances.
Yeah.
Individual
That's what I'm
performances.
Saying. It's hard to like compare it to other sports.
You know, I don't know enough, quite honestly.
Jimmy Butler a couple years ago for Miami literally wheeled his team all the way to the NBA Finals.
Well, LeBron maybe in Cleveland, but people will say Kyrie was a big part
Kyrie
of that as well.
Kyrie had an insanely huge shot for that to go completely to LeBron. But I mean, they were down 3-1 against the Golden State Warriors, then LeBron just went like 29-30, 29, whatever.
Whatever it was. Yeah, like he kind of took over those last three games. So from an individual standpoint, I don't remember enough about what Michael Jordan did in the 90s on a basketball court to say that he had better
Beltran
individual performances.
Had an impressive run the year they traded him to Houston.
Yeah.
Because that's when it was like, damn it. You watched all that happen. You're just like, awesome.
Yeah. Great. But there was nothing we could do because we were losing 100 games. So
yeah, we got John Buck out of the deal.
Right. How much does, John Buck and Mark Tehan, don't forget about him as well.
I like to.
How bad does, Atlanta want to kick themselves in the nuts for letting Freddie Freeman walk out the door, too? I mean, like, you let that guy leave and he's hit now 4 home runs. And I've never seen anything like it. Like, we're witnessing some of the greatest individual performances we've ever seen in sports. And I think when you do it in the playoffs, it just means more than doing it in the regular season. Anybody can produce and have big moments in the regular season. It takes somebody special, like Patrick Mahomes, Michael Jordan, LeBron. Like, these are the names we're talking about right now. You know, and Freddie Freeman's now in that category of the great postseason performances of all time. I just don't know if it's the greatest postseason individual performance that we've ever seen.
He's insane, and he's hotter than your oven can ever get.
I mean, it's wild, man. Like, wild. Every time he comes up, he's hitting a home run in every single game. And you're like, oh, my God. And somebody had a sign, please, Freddie, stop. You know, like, let us go. And boom, another home run. And you know, the Yankees obviously won because the networks wanted it that way to move it on to a game 5. But, I mean, it doesn't take away from anything that Freddie Freeman has done. I don't know personally that I can remember an individual doing better in the postseason than what we're watching right now with Freddie Freeman. Somebody said to me yesterday, what about Madison Bumgarner in 2014 and the run that he had, you know, in the World Series? He's like, I probably am going to get hated for this because it's Kansas City and I'm not supposed to say Madison Bumgarner. Mm. But when you look at what Madison Bumgarner did in that World Series against the Royals, I mean, you got to put that guy up there as well. 2-0, 21 innings, a complete game shutout, one save, a .43 ERA, 17 strikeouts. That's a pretty good performance by Madison Bumgarner, a pretty good performance by an individual, but I think hitting home runs is a lot harder than dominating on the mound.
No, for sure. I mean, like, it's see ball, hit ball's so funny of a cliche because it's so much harder than people actually like think that it actually is.
Yeah.
Like, round ball, cylinder bat. Speaking of cliches or words, you sent a text yesterday, and I thought it was something you could use to talk about the football team that plays in this town. And you said, what's one word that describes the Chiefs?
Mm-hmm.
And the word that I came up with was efficient. Wasn't the first thing I thought of when I thought about, I was going to say consistent was going to be my word for the Chiefs because 7-0, they do it, but they're efficient. And obviously, to give the actual definition of efficient, you kind of understand a working in a well-organized and competent way. That's of like the person, but as the team can be the same thing. The Chiefs, I thought this was interesting because we'll get into it a little bit later on, but like they don't blow you away. They don't do things that are like sparkly and pizzazz and like, Kelsey doesn't have a 52-yard touchdown like LaPorta does or whatever. And I think now we can go ahead and put in the script that Kelsey's going to somehow try to do a lateral at least once a game.
Mm-hmm.
But by God, they are second in the, they are 50% second in the league on third down percentage, which means they keep the ball, they move the ball, and they score with the ball, whether it's 3 or whether it's 6. And I know the 3 frustrates a lot of people, but that is efficient to a T. Like, yes, Patrick Mahomes throws interceptions. He's thrown what? Eight or nine. And yeah, 5 of those are not necessarily like deliberate interceptions, but even still, like, more interceptions and touchdowns, but yet this team is 7-0. Like, they don't lose. They don't beat themselves. They beat you and they do it in like a very competent, efficient way, which is why I think the word that describes Chiefs is efficient.
See, for me, it's smart because they know how to, they're smarter than you in every aspect of the game, from general manager to head coach to quarterback to everybody on that team, defensive coordinator. They're just smarter than you in so many different ways, and they know how to beat you. Like, they know how to win football games, and that's the advantage that the Chiefs have over everybody else in the National Football League right now. They know how to win games, and it is like a math equation. You're figuring it out as you go along, right? And that's what a game is like. You've got to be able to figure it out every step of the way, the twists, the turns, the changes, the injuries, all the stuff that you have to overcome in the course of a game. They're just smarter than everybody else. And I don't think that's being braggadocious. I don't think that's being hyperbolic. It's clear when you watch this team, their quarterback and their head coach are just smarter than anybody else out there on the field on any given Sunday, no matter who it is. And so for me, it's smart front office decisions. It's smart roster decisions. It's smart play calling. It's smart, wicked smart defensive coordinating. Like, to me, it's all about the brains that this organization has. They don't have idiots running amok like a lot of these organizations do at some of their most powerful positions.
I'd say prevailing would be my main word. And I mean, to prevail is to prove to be more powerful than opposing forces, be victorious. I think prove to be more powerful is the part that I really am focusing on, because this team just keeps having to prove it for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know, your quarterback goes down in the playoffs, they'll win the game.
Sure.
Starting offensive lineman goes down, they'll win the game. Two wide receivers go down to start the season. Tight end looks a little rusty to start the season. Doesn't matter. Starting running back goes down. Maybe the defense got some injuries on the back end. Does not matter. They will prevail. They will show up. They will prove that they are still better than you, and they are going to be victorious every single time. And it feels like at some point or another, they just don't have to prove it anymore. But here we are, three Super Bowls, getting ready for a three-peat, and they still have to prevail, still have to prove to you, hey, we're better than you are.
Well, because we're now in the second, you know, kind of, you know, generation of this team winning, where people are now getting sick of this team winning. And people are going to pick against this team and say they can't, because people want new. They want somebody different. They want something new and exciting. And the Chiefs just keep doing their thing. And so, it is prevailing, because you've got a bunch of people out there wishing that they would not be winning right now. So they continually have to prove themselves and prevail in the court of public opinion, if you will, to continue to, you know, assert their dominance up there. Because there's so many people out there that are rooting for Baltimore right now, not Binkley.